This is KNBA News. I'm Jocelyn Estes. The August 19th primary is 15 days away, but voting opens today for early absentee, special needs, and electronic transmission voting. State Elections Director Gail Fanoumiai says the state has set up polling places across Alaska for registered voters.
They can go to a variety of locations throughout the state and in front of an absentee voting official and cast an absentee ballot.
People have until Saturday to apply for a by-mail ballot and until August 18th to apply for an electronic ballot.
Voting will continue through Election Day, and then polls will be open on August 19th from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. for all voters to go vote in person at their polling place on Election Day. Early voting and absentee voting is designed for those voters who know they will not be able to make it to their polling place on Election Day.
In the primary election, voters will pick the candidates for U.S. Senate, House of Representatives, governor, lieutenant governor, and legislative seats that will move forward into the general election. And they'll decide whether to accept or reject an oil and gas production tax law, Senate Bill 21, the legislature adopted last session. Governor Sean Parnell has signed legislation making November 14th Dr. Walter Soboloff Day in Alaska. As KTOO's Casey Kelly reports, about 100 of the late Tlingit elders, family, and friends gathered at Juneau's Marine Park for the bill signing ceremony last week, where Soboloff was remembered as a man who spread love and goodwill to all Alaskans.
The idea for a day honoring Dr. Walter Soboloff first took off at the 2012 Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood Grand Camp Convention. Peter Naros remembers it well.
We were in Sitka at our 100th anniversary.
Naros is now second Grand Vice President of the ANB, but at the time he was Grand Secretary. He says there were two competing resolutions calling on the legislature to make Soboloff's birthday a day of remembrance in Alaska. His job was to combine them.
And it was quite an undertaking to try to get all of his accomplishments in a couple of pages.
Soboloff was born in 1908 in the now-abandoned village of Killisnoo near Angoon. He was the first Alaska Native pastor in Juneau at a time when the town was segregated. He fought for civil rights alongside Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood leaders Roy and Elizabeth Paradovich. Later in life, Soboloff became the cultural and spiritual standard-bearer of the Tlingit people, helping launch efforts to revitalize the language as well as traditional art and dance. He passed away in 2011 at the age of 102. Naros says the thing he found most remarkable about Soboloff was his ability to make his fellow Alaska Natives take pride in themselves and their culture.
He made people who were from this world, from this countryside right here, feel so special about their ability to tell stories, remember stories, the power of the oral tradition, and how he made people stand up and feel good about who they were.
Wednesday's bill signing ceremony included many similar sentiments. Governor Sean Parnell said Soboloff was known for his love of all Alaskans.
And this day will help us remember the love that he had for each of us, as well as for this place.
One of Soboloff's four children, Walter Jr., said his father would have been humbled by the recognition. He said the family hopes Alaskans will mark the day of remembrance by thinking about Soboloff's teachings.
Respect for others, caring, loving, compassion.
Soboloff joins Elizabeth Paradovich, Ted Stevens, and Jay Hammond as prominent Alaskans to have a day named for them. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's new cultural center under construction in the capital city will be named for him as well. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
For the first time, centuries-old fishing knowledge from the Upper Kobuk River is being recorded. Virginia Comack, tribal manager for the Native Village of Ambler, says the transcripts will contain holistic traditional fishing knowledge, such as how to harvest and process fish, how to observe fish habitats and population, and how to safeguard the Upper Kobuk. The documents will also include decades of fish surveys and inventories collected by the Ambler community and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Comack said all the information will be reviewed by community elders and then distributed to local youth in the form of CDs. She says fish can compose up to 75% of the community's diet when land harvests are poor. The initiative is being funded by a $40,000 grant from the National Park Service Historic Preservation Fund. This is KNBA News. I'm Jacqueline Estes.